Book of Romans, chapter 1. The last verse we read together was this, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That is a statement on all of mankind, not just our society, but certainly our society does fit in there. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How? They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Professing themselves to be wise, see, what they did is they became fools. What they did was they exchanged the glory of the uncorruptible God, the real, true, almighty God, changed it into images made like to corruptible mankind, or to the birds, or the animals, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now you think about the religions that you know about, even though you may not be an expert in those religions, but you think about the religions that you know about. For instance, in the Greek religion, and you'll think about the Greek myths and legends. You'll notice that the Greek gods are all men and women. Well, granted, supermen and superwomen, but they're all women. Changing or exchanging the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible mankind. So their gods are supermen who throw lightning around and live on the clouds, and super women who have sex, goddesses have sex with the gods, and all kinds of other gods are created. And you realize that instead of worshiping the almighty, uncorruptible, unchangeable God, they start making God like men and women, only just a little smarter and bigger, and you can see the troubles you get into. Now, some of the other religions, like for instance, the Far Eastern, some of them have really docile gods. And so they have them in the form of cows. And you've seen that, I know you have. Or leopards, or even the more aggressive, the lions. Here on this continent, I know that some at one time worshipped and still do the Great Spirit, and they represent him as an eagle, a big bird that flies and soars and can see all and is over all. So they represent God as a big old bird, changing the glory of a God who is almighty and uncorruptible into corruptible things like birds and cows, animals, and men and women. And creeping things. Now, sometimes we have a tendency to think that we are more sophisticated than those being talked about here in Romans chapter 1. But we're not more sophisticated. We're not at all. I mean, we paint our faces. We put melons on our heads. We put weird little bird things on our heads and spray paint our bodies, dress up in strange and bizarre costumes, and then go to the game. And we worship the Eagles, the Rams, the Seahawks, the Bears, the Colts, the Cardinals, the Falcons, the Sharks, and the list goes on and on. That's how sophisticated we are. Is it wrong to watch football or hockey or basketball? No, of course not. But the truth is, those are gods in our society today. So we worship man, and we worship the birds, and we worship the four-footed beasts. We also worship the creeping things. You watch MTV? You see this woman on the stage just slithering around, crawling. That's a creeping thing. That's what that is. And she's a star, and she gets awards for that. And she's a hero, and her poster is in people's rooms. And she's a legend in her own mind, and we're worshiping creeping things. We're not more sophisticated at all. This describes us as what it does. Changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image of men and women, of birds, of animals, of creeping things. Well, we go on to read this. Because of that, wherefore, verse 24, God also gave them up, those people who changed the image, who have just decided to reject God and worship whatever they want. He gave them up. That literally means handed them over to something. To uncleanness. That's interesting. Through the lusts of their own hearts, listen, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Notice, they gave up God, and they changed the form of God, and they make him birds and animals and men and women and creeping things. They just worship, and they'll say, that's our God, that little hummingbird, or that mountain over there. They just, into those kinds of things. And so God hands them over, or allows them to go ahead, just turns them over to, notice, everyone, the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. All of a sudden, sex comes into the picture here. He's talking about let me read you the language. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's sexual relationships is what he's talking about. That teaches you something. Mankind's corruption is measured by the corruption of sex. Did you know that? The corruption of mankind is, you can measure it by the corruption of the sexual practices that are going on around him. Sex within marriage is said to be a gift from God. Sex within marriage. You say, define marriage. That seems to be an issue today, doesn't it? Marriage, you read Genesis chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. Marriage is one man, one woman, that's all. Together. That's all. It wasn't Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. One man, one woman, that constitutes marriage. Nothing else constitutes marriage. Nothing. You say, but some states it's legal. If God says it's wrong, it doesn't matter what the United States says about anything. I know it's hard to imagine. If God says it's wrong, it doesn't matter to me what Idaho says, or what Washington says, or what Hawaii, or what D.C., or what... No, if God says no, no is what it is, no matter what anyone says is all right. Now, if you can't get there, then that may be part of the problem. Notice, mankind's corruption is measured by the corruption of sex. Sex within marriage is a gift from God. Sex any other way is a perversion and a corruption of God's plan, and it goes against God's will. Sex within marriage, one man, one woman, within marriage only, living together, that's out. That's sex in a way that is not in marriage. Sex within marriage is a gift of God. Sex any other way is a perversion and a corruption of God's plan and goes against God's will. And what he says here is God hands them over to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Look around at a society, look at its sexual practices, and that will give you a clue of where that society is at with God. And God hands them over. And so if you've got a society that accepts any kind of sexual practices except for that that's within marriage, that society has gone away, walked away from God, and has been handed over, as a matter of fact. Now, what they did here, God gave them over, or handed them over to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Although God said this is what is right, people have come along and say, I don't know, we voted and we've decided this is right. And this is the majority voted, and so this law has been passed, so that makes this legal. Well, it's not legal if God says no. Doesn't matter how much authority is politically put behind it. What they did is they changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worshipped and served the creature. Do you hear that? They worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. who is blessed forever. Amen. God is blessed forever. Amen. So let it be. But people have changed the truth of God into a lie. They're saying, no, I don't care what God says. I say this is all right. I say this is acceptable. And so they changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worship and serve what was created instead of the one who created it. And today you hear people talking about Mother Earth. Who's mother? My father made your mother. God made the earth. I want you to know something, and this may shock you. I and you, we are not dependent on the earth for anything. Although every time I see a National Geographic special anymore, they remind me I am dependent on the earth. Not true. The earth is dependent on God. He is keeping it together. And when God lets up, it's going to just explode and be gone. And if I'm dependent on that weak thing, I'm in real trouble, aren't I? No, the earth isn't my mother. No, I am not dependent on the earth. But we should take care of it while we're here. You know, sweep it up, keep it nice, tuck it in. But you better understand, you are not dependent on the earth. You are dependent on the Lord God. He is blessed above all. He has created all things. God is almighty. And He will be worshipped as God. Every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, you might as well avoid the rush. It's going to happen. I say bow now and humble yourself and admit God is almighty. But you will bow sooner or later. Satan himself will bow down and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. But Satan will suffer for eternity. It's going to happen. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Well, we read this. Change the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. And we're seeing that in our lifetime. It's very common that people worship the earth. People worship hummingbirds. They worship things. They have placed animals above humans in many, many cases because they're worshiping them. Now, you, as a human being, all human beings, like it or not, were created in the image of God. There is no dog or cat or hummingbird or Fluffy, your pet snake, who they're not created in the image of God. Reading about the science, doing scientists, a group of scientists doing research on diseases that are killing humans, doing good research, getting along pretty well. Trouble was they were using cats in part of the research. Well, an animal rights group heard about it, started picketing the place, started carrying signs, started attacking, started lobbying, and soon this research was shut down. So the disease still continues on. People are dying from it, but don't worry, the cats are doing better. And that's all that some groups care about, because they've now begun to worship the creature instead of the creator. I'm not picking on cats. We could pick on dogs if you want. Or hair dryers, I guess, if you want. A friend of mine who cuts hair, when she goes on vacation, she says, I plead the blood of Jesus over my hair dryers and my scissors, so that while I'm gone, no one will steal them. You know, Jesus Christ didn't die for your scissors. He didn't die for your dog either. He didn't die for your home or your nice car. He didn't die for all your clothes in your closet. Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus was shed for you. And that's all. And you can have eternal life. Someone came up today in tears, worried that their pets might not make it to heaven. I said, are you going? Be tacky for a little dog to be there and not you, wouldn't it? She said, yes, I'm going. I said, then when God creates the new earth, you'll see all sorts of animals. Animals like you've probably never seen before. God loves animals. They were His idea. So He'll fill the new earth with all the kinds of things He wants to. And the neat thing is, if it's a snake, you can play with it. Some of you do now. That's pretty sick. But, you know. So. But right now, what we're dealing with here is sin. And Jesus shed His blood to redeem mankind. For God so loved the world, not the trees and the flowers and the plants and the birds. And He loves those. And not one bird dies without Him knowing it. But remember, you are important. Well, people began to worship the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, or because of this reason, here's another step down. Remember, God gave them over, or allowed them to go ahead, we read, up to uncleanness, the lust of their flesh, to have sexual practices are incorrect. Now, we read, for this cause, God gave them over, or handed them over, unto vile affections. Now, let's look up what vile affections means. What are vile affections? See if I can find it here. Vile means disgraceful or shameful. God handed them over to disgraceful or to shameful passions and lusts. What are those shameful, disgraceful passions? For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. In other words, women started having sex with women. And likewise, or in the same manner, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman. Men burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was fit. Notice, God says women with women and men with men is disgraceful and shameful. God gave them up to disgraceful, shameful passions. Now first, a sign of society that's been handed over by God to unrighteousness, a sign is their sexual practices. Their sexual practices start to get out of control. Sex isn't held within the confines of marriage no more. They start having random sex with anything that's out there. One night stands and so-and-so's doing this, and they meet one another and they're just in love for a minute or two. And right? And so the next step down would be what? God gives them over to vile affections, shameful, disgraceful passions. So that means homosexuality is the bottom step, or the last step, the bottom of perversion. It's as low as we can get. It's the lowest mankind can go in his sexual practices. Now, some say, well, I'm homosexual. Some say, well, my brothers and sisters are, or my children are. You need to understand something. God didn't say he doesn't love you. God says it's a sin. So Christian, I think you need to stop attacking and start loving, hating the sin and loving the sinner. We're hearing too much attacks on the sinners themselves. Your enemies and the war that you are fighting is not with flesh and blood. Didn't you see that in Ephesians? It is not with flesh and blood. We need to love people. And the way that we need to do that is we need to tell them the truth. I have a very good friend who is gay. And I have talked with him many, many times. I said, what you're doing is no good. It is not of the Lord. And he'd say, I'm born this way. I'd say, garbage. What you're doing is a sin. I know it is because God says so. But he loves you. And he wants you to spend eternity with him. He cares so much about you. And he says, well, I'm just not attracted to women. I say, great. They don't have sex with anything. Just love God and live every day for him. But you know, I'll sit and have a cup of coffee with him. I'll sit and talk with him when he's got questions. I don't hold signs in front of his house that say, God hates you. I hope he burns this place down. No, I tell him, you know what, man? He loves you. You come. You turn around and you come with the Lord. And that's what I think God is showing us here. You'll see it as we come to an end of this. Mankind's corruption is measured by corruption of sex. And the bottom of it is homosexuality, the final step. For this cause, God gave them up or hands them over to vile affections, disgraceful or shameless passions. For even their women did change the natural use. Now, the homosexual movement takes this passage and misrepresents it. They misinterpret it. They misrepresent it. They say this. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And they'll say this. See, if you're born a lesbian, the natural use of your body would be for other women. If you're born heterosexual, then the natural use would be for man. And they say that's why God says the women changed their natural use. Likewise, they say also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward other one another, men with men. Well, the original language clears that up. For this cause God gave them into vile affections, for even their females. It's not how you were born, heterosexual or gay, not true. Even their females, period, did change the natural use into that which is against nature. The same in verse 27. And also the males, leaving the natural use of the female, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, unthinkable, not right. And notice, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or fit. That carries this idea. They receive within themselves the recompense. That means that the acts that they are doing have within themselves the seed of their own punishment. Does that make sense? The acts that they are actually doing are carrying within themselves the seed of their own judgment or punishment. Now, you and I are familiar with the term sexually transmitted disease. Interestingly, you find that the act itself creates the trouble. And God said, don't do it to begin with. But think about AIDS for a moment and how dangerous it is. But you didn't know it as AIDS when they began to talk about it years ago. When it first hit the market, so to speak, and the Center for Disease Control, they were talking about it. What did they call it? Do you recall? It wasn't AIDS. What was it? GRIDS. GRIDS, which is gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. That was not politically correct. The homosexual community, that was just unacceptable to them. And the lobby, the power and the money behind the lobby of the gay movement was able to pressure the Centers for Disease Control to change that to AIDS. But the truth is, the verse is very clear. Receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was fit. Meaning, the acts have within themselves the seed of their own judgment or punishment or their own due penalty. Interesting. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they just don't want to think about God. If you say, this is what God says, people say, I just don't want to hear that. I don't even want to think about God. I don't want to have anything to do with God. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, notice there's a third time, God gives them over, hands them over to a reprobate mind. I was reading an article that said that in the brain of a homosexual individual, there is a fluid present, a liquid that is present in their brain, that is not present in the brain of a heterosexual. Now, the gay movement says that proves that they are born that way. I think it proves verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He handed them over to a mind. What does reprobate mean? It means depraved or a mind that does not function correctly. A mind that does not work like it should. Your mind just unsnaps from itself, and when it rehooks up, it hooks up wrongly. Maybe that's where that fluid is coming from. But God hands them over to a mind that is not working or functioning correctly. And the verse goes on to say, to do those things which are not convenient. Now, we use the word convenient, but this is a King James word, an Elizabethan English word from 1611. And the word doesn't mean what you think it means. Convenient means things that should not be done or things that are not acceptable or are not proper. So you could read it this way. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a mind that does not function correctly to do those things that should not be done or those things which are not acceptable or not proper. If anybody ever asks you, where does the Bible say that homosexuality is a sin? There is no way to escape Romans chapter 1. Now notice, with their minds not functioning correctly, being filled with all unrighteousness, which gives you four sins here, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness. And all that means is this. It says they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. They put God out. Okay, to send God out of your heart and out of your head, to send God away, just to say, I don't want to deal with Him. I don't want to do anything about God. I don't believe in Him. I don't want to, that's just old, that's your truth. I want to get rid of that. All right, that creates a vacuum. And what happens is we see that vacuum is then filled with four forms of sin. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness. Those four sins. Fornication is sexual sin of all sorts. Wickedness is depravity and total evil. Covetousness is a greedy desire to have more. And maliciousness is an evil desire to injure or to harm someone. You think about the stories that you've heard about AIDS carriers. They're brought before the judge, and the judge will say, you knew that you had this disease, and you still had sex with 20 to 30 different individuals. What was on your mind? I know what was on your mind. Romans tells you. Maliciousness, an evil desire to injure or to harm others. Because there was a covetousness, even though you knew that that was destroying your body, you still had a greedy desire to do more and have more of the same thing. Out of complete wickedness, which is depravity and pure evil, basically. From fornication, which is sexual sin of any kind at all. God gives over to a mind that doesn't stand up to the test, a mind that doesn't function, a mind that doesn't work, a reprobate mind. Notice from those four that he lists, you'll see a list of simple sins. Now, don't panic when you see yourself in here, because as we read this, we all see things about ourselves that are listed here. He says that they're filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness. Now, he breaks it down. Full of envy, murder, debate. Debate means to be contentious or to be filled with strife. You just want to fight and want to disagree. Now, you've met people that way. You'll tell them, boy, the sky's a pretty blue. And they'll say, that's green. And then here we go. There's a debate going to happen. They're full of debate or contention. Deceit. Malignity. Malignity means simply depravity of heart. Their heart is just sold out to evil. And then a whisperer. A whisperer is a secret slanderer. Someone who goes around and talks quietly and slanders. You know, so-and-so, they're this and they're that. But they do it secretly. That's a whisperer. Now, a backbiter, they do the same thing, but they do it out in the open and tell as many people as they can. That's what a backbiter might be. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, boy, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. That means they can't be persuaded to enter into any sort of settlement or an agreement. You can't get to an agreement with them. They're just implacable. And unmerciful. Now you notice this, verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, the soul that sins, it shall die, God says. That soul knows trouble's coming. And many people today, knowing the judgment of God, they choose to go ahead anyway. They choose to go ahead anyway, and we read this, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, continue in the same pattern, say this is the way I am, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Knowing the judgment is coming, that these kinds of things are worthy of death, knowing that they're absolutely wrong, they just put all that aside and say, I don't care, and they continue to do it, and they want to do it, and they take pleasure in others that do it. To take pleasure in it means to be glad about it and to even applaud them. Now, our society as a whole, not only is our society continuing in these sins, but our society takes pleasure in and applauds others who are doing them. We take such pleasure and we applaud them so much, we give them Academy Awards. We give them Oscars. We give them fame and fortune and everything that goes with it. That's how far we've gone. You'll see on the screen, a Christian had recommended my wife and I go see this movie. We should know better. We should know better. You would think, as I'm 9,000 years old, you'd think I would know better than to listen to a Christian by now. But I listened. It was rated PG. I should have known. That stands for pure garbage. And it's rated by Satan himself. God didn't rate it PG. Satan did. Satan said, that's not too bad. Parents, send your kids. We go to this movie. And it's about a divorced man and a divorced woman who have little kids. The kids are stinking 90s kids that are rotten to the core. I think they should be drowned and make other ones. Just my opinion. Not all 90s kids, but those kids are just, we think, man, brat. Kid's got his own cell phone. He's, what, 8 years old? I'm thinking, oh. But these two have an affair. But it's funny. They won some awards for that. Very thing that God himself condemns. These people are famous. People have their posters and want to see their next movie. Bible says that my eyes ought to be on Jesus. Your eyes ought to be on Jesus. We should keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Our eyes on the prize. Looking forward to the mark. Pressing toward the prize for the high calling. Instead, what are your eyes on? Man, and they're winning awards. They'll divorce 7, 8, 9, 10 times. They'll be living with someone now, having sex with that one. I don't watch TV much, praise God, but I did happen to see some kind of entertainment thing last week sometime. I don't remember the night. It was some kind of entertainment. I don't know if it was entertainment tonight or entertainment next Thursday, but it was something. And on there, the question was, here's this superstar. I don't know because I don't do that many movies. But here's this superstar, and they're wondering who he's going to marry next. Because he and his third wife or second wife, they just got divorced right after the honeymoon. They just got a divorce. Now, who's he going to marry next? And talk around Hollywood as he's looking at so-and-so. And she's about to divorce her husband because they're not sure. And I'm thinking, these are stars. We're making fame and fortune and everything that goes with them. And we're paying for it. And I think we shouldn't be. I think it's a sin. Someone says, that's legal. I don't care what the United States says. I care what God has to say. And if God says it's a sin, I don't care what law makes it legal. If God says no, it is no. It doesn't matter how many votes against God. I mean, God didn't say, all right, well, let's have the room, we'll take a poll, and if you disagree with me, I'll change my mind. God said, this is the way it is, and the soul that sins shall die and be separated from God forever and ever. And God says, that is a sin. So when God calls it a sin, we have a responsibility to call it a sin. Well, it's legal in some states, but it's not legal in the kingdom of God, and that's the kingdom I live in. And if God wouldn't show this movie in heaven, we shouldn't watch it here. And if God would not allow this book to be sold or read, then we won't sell it or read it here. Because God is the one who we listen to, the Creator, blessed forever. Now the good news is, we finished the chapter. The bad news is, chapter 2 says, "You are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are that judges someone else." See, all of us, we're going to learn. We have to stop here. All of us are sinners. There are none of us any worse than the others. It's not like the divorced seven times is worse than the child molester, or the child molester is worse than the homosexual, or the homosexual is worse than the carjacker. No. We are all in the same boat, and that boat is sinking fast, and we are all in need of a Savior. Don't misunderstand what Romans chapter 1 is telling us. These things are no good, and we shouldn't be part of them, but we have to understand that every one of us is in need of a Savior. Maybe you're recognizing in your own life some of these things, and you go, "Man, I'm in trouble. Oh, you know, woe is me. What do I do?" Well, if you recognize that you're in need of a Savior, there is only one that's available. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for the sins of the whole world. You want to walk out of here squeaky clean, completely forgiven? Your past is gone. Your future is gone as far as sins. Gone, never to be brought up again ever in any way, shape, or form, except probably by your friends, but they don't count. Then you come to Jesus Christ. If you're living any lifestyle that the Bible calls sin, doesn't matter what the lifestyle is, if the Bible says it's sin, I want to stop it. And I don't have the power on my own, so I cry out to God. I want to turn and go your way, God. It is possible. There is always hope. You can turn and you can walk with God. He will deliver you. And you were not born this or that. You were born, so was I, a sinner. And what you deserve and what I deserve is to suffer forever in a lake that burns with fire, that never stops burning. You say, "Well, I've never done this sin. I've never done that sin. We are all sinners. And there is only one salvation for sinners. There is only one way out of this whole big mess. And that's to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And then, as a priest, you are a kingdom of priests. That's what we are. Christians, you're a kingdom of priests. You go to the Old Testament, you watch what the priests do. They put that staff through the rings in the Ark of the Covenant. They lift it up on their shoulders and they carry the Ark of the Covenant. And what's in the very center on the top of the Ark of the Covenant? The mercy seat. You're a kingdom of priests. You carry that Ark of the Covenant. What are you carrying to people? Mercy. You're telling them there is hope for you in Jesus Christ. They look at you and say, "You don't know what I've done. But Jesus washed your sins away if you will come to a saving knowledge." The blood was shed to wash all sins away. But you must accept the free gift. So we take to them out there mercy. Good news. Jesus loves you and gave his life for you. God so loved you that he sent his only begotten Son. But whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is good news. We bring to you good news, mercy from God, if you are willing to say yes. Turn, come to God and say yes.